Is God supernaturally intervening in the Middle East through natural disasters? And could this be a glimpse into the future of America and what it means for Christians living in America? We're going to tackle this in tonight's doubleheader. Let's get after it.
The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
All right, what's going on, guys? It's that time of the week. It is Monday, August 19th, and we're kicking off this week of podcasts, and we've got a doubleheader lined up for you tonight. But before we get started, do me a favor, smash that like button, hit that subscribe button, hit that bell notification. Do all of that to help us not only push our material out on these programs and keep you up to date, but it also helps you, it should at least, that we are going live, and when we put up new content, you'll be able to catch it there. And of course, don't forget to download our free app. It's available on Apple and Android devices. And we love you guys on Apple and Spotify and wherever you get your podcasts. If you're listening, go to your Play Store, download the free app today, hit yes to push notifications. You're going to be squared away, good to go. You won't miss a headline. You won't miss a podcast. You won't miss breaking news. Everything will be right at your fingertips. And again, if you're just joining us, this is End Time Headlines, news and headlines from a prophetic perspective. And of course, I'm your host, pastor, founder, and voice of End Time Headlines, Ricky Scapero. And we want to welcome you to tonight's program. Listen, if you're new, first time joining us, let us know in the comment section below that you're new and where you guys are joining us from. There was an interesting piece that came over this weekend that we shared on our main website. Let me pull it up. All right, here's the headline. This is from Harbingers Daily. We share quite a few of their content. Look at this headline. Tectonic shifts. Did God use an earthquake in the Middle East to thwart an attack on Israel? This was written by Mark Hitchcock. He is an author and speaker and a prophetic voice as well, one of the many voices out there that deal with eschatology and the end times. He did an interesting piece, and we're going to go over a little bit of this tonight, and I want to show you some insight that I want to share with you as well, because this is a very intriguing, and I believe could be a glimpse of more to come. So you better get used to this. Listen, if you disagree with this, then you're going to have a lot of trouble wrapping your head around what's coming in the future in regards to how God will supernaturally intervene and protect the nation of Israel as prophesied. Mark Hitchcock wrote that tectonic shifts are taking place across the Middle East. We're witnessing tectonic shifts politically, militarily, and now literally we're seeing tectonic shifts as an earthquake in Syria last week profoundly affected Hezbollah and could be one of the reasons why Iran and the terror organizations have delayed their ambitions or their invasion of Israel. Because remember, they continually kept saying and threatening Israel that they were going to fully invade Israel. There were multiple reports, intelligence reports across the board saying that this was going to happen within days, and then 48 hours passed and 72 hours passed, and then a week passed, and then the 9th of Av passed, and still yet no response from Iran or any of this coalition that was threatening the nation of Israel. However, as Mark Hitchcock pointed out, something very interesting took place, and that was an earthquake. In fact, there was a couple earthquakes. There was at least two earthquakes that struck the nation of Syria. According to this report, Syria was struck by at least two earthquakes. One measured a 4.5 on the Richter scale, specifically east of the governorate of Hama, just 3 hours after a large 5.4 magnitude affected the same region. So these were back-to-back earthquakes. Again, this took place last week. A 4.5 and a 5.4. The Syrian National Seismological Center reported that the latest tremor's epicenter was located 23 kilometers east of Hama, or Hama, however you pronounce that, according to the Syrian Arab News Agency. There were no significant damages or injuries reported in this location or other affected provinces as a result of the two earthquakes. These earthquakes were felt by residents across Jordan, Palestine, and Lebanon, and the Jordanian Seismological Observatory reported that the earlier quake that measured a 5.4 also was... Now, here's what's fascinating, as Mark Hitchcock, pointed out. There was a piece by the Jerusalem Post, and let me see if I can pull this up for you. Here was the actual headline. Heaven sent. Is Lebanon's earthquake a testament to divine protection? Again, this was published on the 13th of August, guys, which was during the time of, this was during that period of the 9th of Av, which we did in one of our podcasts we did last week, we talked about the significance of that date, that time frame on the Hebrew calendar, and it was the most negative time frame dealing with God's people. There was all these tragic events that took place there. And this on this year, this was, again, this was last week during the days of August 12th and 13th on the Hebrew calendar was the time frame of the 9th of Av. And listen to this article. I want to pull this up here and show you. Despite the 9th of Av having so much negative connotation to it in connection with Israel and disasters, this particular time frame in 2024, now this is what rabbis are saying here. They witnessed a modern day miracle and a testament to divine intervention that could not have come at a more crucial time. According to the reports, this 5.4 earthquake that struck Syria and Lebanon profoundly impacted the region. This was not just any seismic event. It may have served as an unanticipated yet divine act that thwarted a grave threat against the Jewish nation. Wow. Hezbollah, an established proxy of Iran, had been preparing to launch an attack on Israel, a direct affront planned deliberately during the time frame of the 9th of Av. Remember, we shared that on one of our podcasts. Many of the group's underground tunnels, here it is, teeming with arraignments, may have been reduced to rubble by an act of God to protect his children, which could effectively halt Hezbollah's nefarious plan before it could even materialize. Now, again, I don't know where they're, I can't tell you where they're getting their source of absolute confirmation of whether or not these tunnels imploded and all of this took place. But again, these sources from the Jerusalem Post are hinting at, or they're proposing the notion that many of these underground tunnels that Hezbollah uses to carry out these acts of terror against Israel was thwarted by this. Let me read this here. Look, I'm going to pull this up so you can read it. It is hard to perceive it as mere coincidence that the earth shook on the very day Hezbollah had intended to send Israel into mourning once more. With tunnels collapsing and their arsenals buried, what could have been a devastating assault turned into a day of bewildering relief and gratitude. Wow, guys, wow. I'm going to read this. Throughout history, Jews have faced adversaries who sought to dismantle our spirit and our faith. This recent event is yet another example that, irrespective of the gathered forces against us, I want you to keep this in mind because I'm going to show you some examples in the future because this is going to happen again. Again, despite the irrespective plots of the gathered forces against the Jewish people, divine protection remains steadfast. The 9th of Av, usually a day of sorrow and reflection, was transformed into a moment where we could see the hand of God in action, turning our potential despair into potential reassurance. Now, listen, you may be on here and you say, and you may be a new Christian, you may be a new believer, you don't know much of the Bible, you don't know much about prophecy, and that's why you're intrigued by our channel or our ministry. So I want you to hang in there with me for a second, because I want to show you. So I want to remind our audience tonight that this threat, this emerging coalition that's rising up against the nation of Israel is not just coming from Syria, where this earthquake took place. It's coming from Iran. The Bible calls them Persia. And it's coming from Russia is one of these threats, and it's also coming from Turkey, okay? Which we have pointed out in Ezekiel 38, 39, that is a coalition of nations that will, with the exception of Syria, Syria is not mentioned, probably because they'll be Damascus will be reduced to rubble and a ruinous heap to fulfill Isaiah 17, but these other nations will. Now, when I saw this this report from Mark Hitchcock, I always get tongue-tied on there, and then the Jerusalem Post, it intrigued me, and I started putting some stuff together, and I thought this was very interesting. Did shortly, again, within a week span, look at this, guys. There was also a significant earthquake in Iran. So you have one in Syria. There was a 4.4 that took place in Iran as well. And again, you can see that date. This happened yesterday on the 18th of August. But that's not all that took place. Look at this. There was a magnitude 7.0. Now, that's a large quake, guys. A 7.0 earthquake struck in the area of Russia, causing a volcanic eruption, sending a column of ash into the air. I want to say that again. That is so, wow. That is such an amazing thing to think about here. So you have an earthquake that struck Syria during the 9th of Av while they were contemplating an attack against Israel, including Iran, who had an earthquake just yesterday. And then over the weekend, Russia, who is led by Putin, who is who's teamed up with Iran and China and other nations that also are speaking ill against Israel. Now we have, and again, over the weekend, a magnitude 7.0 earthquake that struck the nation of right outside of Russia, producing a volcanic eruption. The Shivalach volcano, which is a coastal city with a population of about 180,000 that lies in Russia's eastern region of Kamchatka. Now, if that doesn't, that may ring a bell to you. Kamchatka, this city in Russia, if it rings a bell, it's probably because back in 2018, there was a meteor that broke through the Earth's atmosphere that was so powerful. Look, I'm going to just show you the headline, guys. I just want to show you this.
The images look like something out of a movie, a tiny asteroid tearing through space at a speed of 33,000 miles per hour before streaking across southern Russia. Cameras caught sight of the white trail as it headed across the sky. And then this. An explosion of light, then a massive sonic boom. Strong enough to shatter windows and damage buildings. There were reports of more than 1,000 people injured, mostly from glass and debris. This video shows a children's judo class. Windows blew out here and in buildings around the region. Some people said they thought it might have been a plane crash. This is the aftermath of the blast in a high school. A 17-year-old student put this video on YouTube, showing the reaction in his physics class. Students screamed and ran into the hallways. He said some in the class thought war had started. Some of the incredible images were caught on cameras placed inside Russian cars. Many drivers now record their journeys in case of crashes or run-ins with police.
Look at this. Look at this headline from Popular Mechanics. A meteor struck the Earth with the force of a nuclear bomb, and we hardly even noticed it. I think it's intriguing that there was a 7.0 magnitude earthquake that just struck right off here at this location of Russia that caused this volcano to erupt. And these are some of these nations, guys, that have been threatening Israel, making derogatory remarks against Israel, threatening to enforce sanctions against them. Some of them are threatening to annihilate them, to destroy them, and to wipe them out. But listen, this is nothing new. If you know your Bible, you'll know that the supernatural intervention of God has been seen throughout history in defending the nation of Israel. We can go all the way back to Exodus 14. When Pharaoh refused to let the children of Israel go, they were met with 10 plagues. There was 10, or excuse me, this is Exodus 7 through 12. There was plagues that struck Egypt, and these were devastating plagues, all kinds of them. Then we saw how God supernaturally parted the Red Sea. This is in Exodus 14, where God supernaturally parted the Red Sea to allow the children of Israel to escape on dry land. Then you go to Joshua 6, and in order for the children of Israel to conquer their promised land, God supernaturally caused the walls of Jericho to collapse. Then in Joshua chapter 10, we see where during a battle between the Israelites and the Amorites, God sent large hailstones from heaven, wiping out the enemy. And then you go to 2 Kings 19:35, and you have an Assyrian army that was breathing threats against the children of Israel in Jerusalem during the reign of King Hezekiah. And overnight, an angel of the Lord went through the camp, struck down 185,000 Assyrians. Now, again, historians again, they try to remove the supernatural aspect of this and remove the account of angelic intervention. They will equate this to some kind of a disaster, a plague, or something else, because they don't see the unforeseen hand of God moving through this angel that wiped them out. I'm trying to tell you guys that this has been historical. God has been seen. His handiwork, his supernatural intervention has been seen throughout history in protecting and defending the nation of Israel. Your Bible says that there is an archangel by the name of Michael that guards Israel, who he neither sleeps nor slumbers, and he keeps Israel. Then you go to Ezekiel 38. Now, this is future tense. The book of Ezekiel chapter 38, verse 14. So, but before we get from 1 through 13, it talks about this massive coalition of nations that will rise up. Again, three of those nations are threatening Israel right now: Russia, Turkey, and Iran. All three of these nations are mentioned in this war of Gog and Magog. So they form a confederacy. They come in to invade Israel during their time of peace and safety, dwelling without walls, nor gates, nor bars. But look at this. Let's go to verse 14. And look what the word of the Lord says in Ezekiel 38, 14. Therefore, son of man, prophesy and say unto Gog. And by the way, Gog is a prince spirit. This is demonic, guys. This is a prince chief demonic spirit that's leading this war. And by the way, this same chief prince spirit returns after the 1,000 year millennial reign and tries to stir up another war against the people of God. So again, you see this in both, and a lot of people get confused and they try to equate this Gog-Magog war as one in the same battle, but it's not. These are two different wars, but it's the same spirit behind it, okay? Let me go here. Therefore, son of man, prophesy. Again, I'm in Ezekiel 38, 14 for you guys listening by Apple and by Spotify. Again, guys, you guys listening, please don't forget us to give us a good review, because that helps boost our platform out there in the podcast land there. Therefore, son of man, prophesy and say unto Gog, thus saith the Lord God, in that day when my people, and I've highlighted these for you guys, when my people of Israel dwell safely, thou shall know of it. Okay? You shall know of it. Now watch this. Come. Look what he says. You shall come from thy place out of the north parts, thou and you and many people with thee. And he talks about all this. Then you come down here to verse 18. I want to skip all the way down to verse 18. And it shall come to pass at the same time. Somebody say at the same time when the nations are rising against Israel. Look at this. At the same time when Gog shall come against the land of Israel, saith the Lord God, that my fury shall come up in my face. Whoa. Did y'all see that? So God is saying here that his fury shall rise forth because of what these nations have conspired to do against Israel. Now God sees this. Of course he sees this, right? It's not like he doesn't see this, but it angers him. His fury is rising up among him. Oh, what would the manifestation of his fury look like? And what will God do in the middle of this war? Well, let's read on. For in my jealousy and in the fire of my wrath have I spoken. Surely in that day there shall be a shaking in the land of Israel. Now, is this metaphorically? Is this politically? What is this? What is this? No, no, no. This is a literal earthquake. Let me prove it to you. Verse 20. Again, he talks about a shaking in the land of Israel so that the fishes of the sea and the fowls of the heaven and the beasts of the field and all creeping things that creep upon the face of the earth and all the men that are upon the face of the earth shall shake at my presence, and even the mountains shall be thrown down and the steep places shall fall and every wall shall fall to the ground. Guys, this is a massive earthquake or earthquakes, a series of seismological events that are taking place that is affecting all the wildlife, the fish of the sea, the beasts of the field, the people on the earth, and it's even causing mountains to be thrown down. And God says, I'll call for a sword against him throughout all my mountains, says the Lord God. Every man's sword shall be against his brother. Verse 22, and I will plead against him with pestilence and with blood. And I will rain upon him and upon his bands and upon the many people that are with him, and an overflowing rain and great hailstones, fire and brimstone. Guys, this is the same type of wrath of God that came from heaven against the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. And again, historians, volcanologists, seismologists who have studied this will say that this was a volcanic eruption. Some say it was a meteor burst from heaven that caused this. Guys, I don't have a problem with either one of these. Either way, listen, we can sit here and debate and argue all day. Was it an earthquake? Was it a volcano? Was it a meteor from heaven? Was it a fireball? Listen, I don't really care. It doesn't really matter to me what it was. But we know who sent it. Are you hearing me today? God sent that. God has defended the nation of Israel since the beginning of time, and he will continue to defend Israel even in future prophetic wars when nations conspire to come and try to wipe Israel out and destroy them. Listen, God is not going to have to rely on America. He's not going to have to rely on some politician. He's not going to rely on the United Nations to intervene. He's not looking for them to intervene. He doesn't want their help. He doesn't need their help. God says, when the time comes and I see, come on, the apple of my eye surrounded the nation of Israel, I myself will rise up and defend Israel. And I find it very intriguing that America is not mentioned in Ezekiel 38:39, Gog Magog war, and people freak out and lose their minds over this. But I don't, and here's why. Because I you know what I see it as? I see it as this is just like the nature of God. God never wants the glory to be given to men. He never wants the glory to be given to an army, a military, come on, a nation, or a political leader. He doesn't want them to get the glory of defending Israel. God says, I'll make it to where the odds are so against the nation of Israel that in the natural, it looks ridiculous. It looks impossible. But then when it looks like all is lost for Israel, they're backed in a corner. It looks like they're going to be annihilated by their enemies and destroyed, and Satan thinks he's won. Come on. Then God will rise up out of his chamber and out of his place in the fury of his wrath, and he will shake this earth, come on, to the very core. And the Bible says that everything that has the breath of the nostrils of life in it will be shaken to the core. The mountains will be thrown into the sea. Come on. It will be a day like no other that we've ever witnessed. And friends, we could be alive and well to witness such a thing in the day and the hour that we are living in. But it doesn't stop there, even after this. Zechariah says that Jerusalem will become a cup of drunkenness to all the nations. They'll try to lay siege against Judah and Jerusalem, and it shall happen in that day that he will make Jerusalem a very heavy stone for all the people who would try to heave it away. They shall surely be cut in pieces. though all nations of the earth are gathered against it. Joel talks about this. Joel says that God himself will gather all the nations and bring them down to the valley of Jehoshaphat, and he will enter into judgment with them there on account of the people of God, the heritage of Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations and has divided up the land of Israel. What this is going to be is what is known as the Battle of Armageddon. This will take place in the city, in an ancient city called. All of these nations will be gathered there, and God will pour out his fury just like he did in the Gog and Magog war. In fact, look what it says here, chapter 16. And then the seventh angel poured out his bowl into the air, and a loud voice came out of the temple of heaven from the throne, saying, "It is done." And there were noises and thunderings and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake. Such a mighty and great earthquake that has not occurred since men were on the face of the earth. And now the great city was divided in three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. And great Babylon was remembered before God to give her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. And then every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. Look what it says here in verse 21. And great hail from heaven fell upon men, each hailstone about the weight of a talent. And men blasphemed God because of the plague of hail, since the plague was exceedingly great. Again, if you go up here to verse 16, look what it says. They gathered them together to the place called in Hebrew Armageddon. So what am I talking about? I'm talking about, friends, that we don't need to be worried about Israel. God has got Israel taken care of. We need to be worrying about is America. Because God, in the Bible, I can find God having a covenant with Israel, but I cannot find God having a covenant with America. Now, our forefathers, many of our forefathers that founded this nation made a covenant with God. And I believe that's one of the main reasons why our nation has continued to be blessed, because he's honored that covenant they made with him. But friends, the winds of change have been blowing in. Things are shifting. We are not the same America that we were 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 40 years ago, 100 years ago. Things are changing politically, morally, spiritually. Everything is shifting and changing. We are going into a direction that's very dark, very ungodly, very anti-God, anti-Israel. And that leads me to the next portion of our podcast tonight. I am greatly concerned that if, and again, I'm throwing a huge if out there, if a certain particular party wins this coming up election, I believe that the headlines I'm about to share with you are going to be so normal that these are going to be everyday occurrences that we better get used to if we're going to be believers living here in America, in the West. So as the time of this recording, the Democratic National Convention is kicking off, and they are, let me just pull this article up here. They are already preparing for absolutely massive anti-Israel protests at this Democratic National Convention. Now look, there's a lot of fear right now that we could see a repeat of what took place in Chicago in 1960. And Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson insists that the law enforcement authorities in his city are, quote, ready. Tens of thousands of protesters from 264 different radical protest groups have already descended upon Chicago, and the war in the Middle East is what they are upset about more than anything else. These individuals are determined and hell-bent to get as much attention as possible because so far the Biden administration has not, quote, been responsive to their demands. According to a recent report from Politico, following Joe Biden's dropping out of the race and Kamala Harris becoming the nominee, pro-Palestinian protesters, quote, paused to rethink their approach. But then they remembered that Harris has supported every move that Biden has made regarding the Middle East, and they have decided to go, quote, full steam ahead. I'm going to read you a statement. Quote, "We all came to a consensus that it's not going to make a difference that Harris represents this administration." This was according to the chair of the U.S. Palestinian Community Network. Quote, We are going to stay full steam ahead. And he noted his organization referred to Harris as, quote, Killer Kamala, even before she topped the ticket and continues to push for harsher restrictions on the Israeli government, like an arms embargo, something that a top Harris advisor has said she doesn't support. So what does full steam ahead even mean? What does this look like? Well, according to NBC News, there will be over 20,000 protesters, again, from 264 different protest groups. And all these 20,000 protesters are expected to cram into a 1.4-mile long court-approved protest route near Democratic National Convention in Chicago. So this is literally a powder keg that's set to explode. And again, they're trying everything they can to not repeat history 56 years ago in 1968, what happened in Chicago during the Democratic National Convention. You can go do some research on that and see that for yourself. All right, speaking of the DNC, this is absolutely disgusting. Planned Parenthood is going to take advantage of the DNC by offering free abortions and vasectomies. Again, the mobile health clinic will roll into Chicago starting today and tomorrow, rolling out, handing out free abortions and vasectomies. According to Fox News, Planned Parenthood Great Rivers of St. Louis announced in a post on X that a bus is headed to the DNC in Chicago on August 19th to the 20th to offer these free services. Quote, here we come, Chicago. Our mobile health clinic will be in the West Loop with, again, they'll be in the West providing free vasectomies and medication abortion. And it will be available free with no appointment necessary. And look, this is not my words. This I'm quoting to you from Fox News. Democrats have made the issue of abortion a central theme. Now, you're going to do, listen, I don't even like politics, guys. You know this. This is not my lane. I don't hang out in this lane. We rarely talk about politics on our program. We just don't. I want to preach the gospel and the you know, waking up the sleeping, slumbered church. This is the fire that's in my belly. That's what my mandate is, and to inform you of the times and seasons in which we're in. But I have to talk about this at times. But listen, you're going to have to vote how you're going to vote. That's between you and the Lord. But do you really, you have to ask yourself, when you stand before God, and you will, we all will. Paul said this. Paul said that every man will stand before a living God, and he will give an account of things in which he said, things he did in the body while he was here on this earth, in the time in which he was given. There'll be crowns. There'll be, if you're a believer and you make it to heaven, you will be rewarded for things you did in heaven. And it's all there. It's called the judgment seat of Christ, the bema judgment of God. If you don't make it, you don't make it into the kingdom, you'll still be judged. You'll be judged at a white, great white throne judgment at the end. At the very end, this will be a judgment that every person on the planet whose name was not found in the Lamb's Book of Life will have to stand before a living God. And when their name will be revealed to them that was never put in there because they never accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. They rejected the gospel. They rejected the good news. They rejected the free gift of salvation. The Bible says they will meet their fate. They will be tossed into the lake of fire that burneth forever and ever. Now, when we stand before God and we have to give an account, do you really? I'm going to ask you a question. I'm being serious here. Are you comfortable with casting your vote to a political party? Again, whoever that is, Democrat, Republic, Independent, whoever that party is, that their central theme is shedding innocent blood, taking the life of an unborn. Now, again, according to Fox News, and again, this is not an opinion piece. They will tell you this. Biden, Harris, Obama, all of these people that are involved in this particular campaign that we're seeing, the Democrats' central theme for this election year is the issue of abortion. This, I'm convinced, guys, this is why there has been so much hell break loose. This is why there's so much demonic activity. This is why there's so much warfare. This is why there's so much fighting and imploding on social media outlets between, even between professed believers. Now, I don't even understand that. I don't understand how you can be saved. Come on, baptized in the Holy Ghost, baptized in Jesus' name, and sanctified. Come on, I'm covering all the bases. Read your Bible regularly and have no conviction whatsoever of casting your vote for an organization that has no problem with taking the life of an unborn. And even lays out the welcome mat for a bus to roll up from Planned Parenthood and say, hey, you can't afford an abortion? Don't worry. It's on us. We'll take care of it. It's free. We'll do it. I just don't understand that, guys. I don't understand. Help me to understand that. Since the reversal of Roe v. Wade and Vice President Kamala Harris stepping in to replace President Biden, the Democratic Party has doubled down on rhetoric surrounding a woman's right to choose. According to a recent poll, a record number of Americans, now 66%, now support legal abortion in some or all cases. Again, now this is just one poll. This is a Quinnipiac University poll. So this is just one, take it for whatever you want. Revealed 66% of those polled in America now support legal abortion in some or all cases. This is the highest level of support ever recorded by this particular poll in its two decades of history. Guys, these are the ones that are going to be voting this into office in a few months. Now, I'm going to pull this up because I know as soon as I say this, people will start foaming at the mouth and they'll get mad at me. The emphasis, I'm reading this straight off the screen right here on Fox News article. The emphasis of abortion in the upcoming elections has led Trump to soften his stance on the hot button issue. So again, I know everybody's like, the Democrats, Harris, Biden, but look at this, Trump is even softening. He's lowering his standards, his moral convictions, whatever that is. You guys do remember there at one time Trump was a Democrat. At one time Trump did support fully abortion. You realize that, right? But then now, 2024, running again, he's softening his stance on abortion. Prior to the Republican National Convention, Trump met in a closed door meeting in a draft, the Republican Party platform, and slimmed down the party's once staunch opposition to abortion. Again, guys, I don't know. Y'all got to do what you're going to do. I don't put all my hope and stock in politics and politicians. I don't. I know too much of the Word of God, and I know that my Bible says that in the book of Daniel that God, it's God ultimately that raises up kings and sets down kings, puts them in and places them in positions for particular seasons for his divine purpose. So again, it's at the end of the day, friends, you got to do what is going to let you, whatever's going to make you sleep better at night and have your conscience clean before the Lord. But I'm not worried about, you know, people say, well, Brother Ricky, if you don't vote, or if you do vote, or if you vote this, or if you don't vote this, this could determine the election. One vote, this, that. But guys, can I tell you, listen, I know this is going to burst some of y'all's bubble, but God already knows who's going to win the election, number one. Number two, God has already positioned and put in place who he wants to win the election for his divine purpose. Because we seem to forget that the book's already been written, friend. What we're living out, God has already authored it. We just ain't got to that chapter yet. It's already determined. It's already purposed in the mind of God, in the will of God. Remember, he's not just the beginning. He's not just Alpha. He's not just in Genesis. He is in the end. He is Omega, and he is he who is to come. He is the first and the last. He is he who was, is, and is to come. So if he's already in the future, he already knows. He already knows if it's going to be Trump. He already knows if it's going to be Harris. And if Trump wins, you know what that means? God has a purpose for Trump winning the election. If Harris wins, God has a purpose for Harris winning the election. The key is for the kingdom, the body of Christ here in the earth, to pray and seek the face of God. And ask the Holy Spirit's wisdom and ask the Holy Spirit, Lord, why did such and such win the election? What was the purpose? And we may not get an answer initially. God may not even reveal to us the full answer, but we, as the months go by and the years go by, we can look back in retrospect and say, okay, that's why God allowed this so-and-so to win or so-and-so to lose the election. Come on. Are you all hearing me? Is this too deep? Come on, if you're looking for some, listen, I'm not going to be that preacher that's going to politicize things and talk about politics all the time. So if that's what you want, you've come to the wrong channel. But if you want to stay in the Bible, you want to stay in prophecy, and you want to get equipped, then stick around. All right, we've got more to cover. How much time we got left? All right, we got a few more minutes. Let's go to the next article. Let me pull this up, and I'm going to tell you why I'm going to talk about this. Elon Musk and J.K. Rowling could be, and she's the author, by the way, of Harry Potter. We don't have that trash in our home, and I never would. And if you've got it, I recommend you take it out to a dumpster and burn it. Elon Musk and J.K. Rowling could be handed five-year prison sentences and fined up to $214,000 if Olympic boxer Emin Khalif, I believe that's how you pronounce it, wins criminal cyberbullying case. Y'all remember this? You remember this boxer that was all over the Olympics? It went viral all over the place. This boxer failed, or I should say was disqualified from the 2023 World Championships because they possess both X and Y chromosomes, and therefore they legally, technically, is not a woman. But yet this 25-year-old Olympian who says that they are not a transgender woman, that they are indeed a woman, has now come out swinging, no pun intended, but at two particular individuals, and that is Elon Musk and J.K. Rowling. Why? To make examples out of them for a criminal cyberbullying lawsuit. Musk and Rowling were among the high-profile figures leading the outcry about this boxer's part in the summer's games at which the Algerian fighter won gold. Khalif has filed a lawsuit to French authorities alleging acts of aggravated cyber harassment. Guys, now look, this is the whole point I want to make here. Let me pull this up. I want you to see this because I want this to get ingrained into your skull. I want you to see this. Criminal cyber bullying lawsuit. Can you say that with me? Say it in the chat. Criminal cyber bullying lawsuit. Why do we need to say this? Because this, get ready, guys, because this is going to be the new normal. Now, what do you think is going to happen as you as a believer voice your opposition against something that you don't agree with as a believer, that the Bible doesn't agree with, that the Bible condemns, and you go on social media and you get in your comment section? And by the way, this is why I'm just going to be honest with you. On my personal Facebook page, I never talk about this stuff. Why? Because wisdom. Some of y'all, Listen, some of y'all have no restraint at all. You have no filter. Some of y'all don't have no business being on social media because you get on there and I'm telling you, and look, you can do what you want, but if you've got a nice job that you like that pays well and you support your family, just be aware that if you go out there on these platforms and you get in the comment section of these stories that come up on Fox News or NBC or ABC or whatever, and you start just opening your mouth and just on the keyboard and you type out all this stuff, I'm telling you, Big Brother is watching everything that you say and do. There is people losing their careers and their jobs over things, over a paragraph they typed out in a comment section. And it's being classified as hate crime and now, or quote unquote, cyber bullying. Look at this article. This, in Egypt, a father who is a Christian has just recently been in prison. What was the heinous crime? He was sharing his Christian faith on Facebook. He was sharing his Christian faith on Facebook and now is facing imprisonment in Egypt. According to FaithWire, this man was reportedly arrested by Egyptian authorities back in 2021. Look at this, for participating in a Facebook group answering questions for and fostering conversations with people who had converted from Islam to Christianity. There it is. Now, again, Egypt is one of those nations that has what's called an anti-conversion law, meaning you cannot convert someone from one faith to another, howbeit Islam to Christianity. Now, let me go to the BBC. Misogyny to be treated as, look at this, quote, extremism by the UK government. He said, well, hold on, Brother Ricky, that's the United Kingdom, that's Egypt, that's not America. Again, I don't know how many times we got to have this conversation, friend. If you think for a moment that if certain political parties get into place, if you think that they will not adopt these policies, remember, I'll remind you that Kamala Harris, in a video that we shared, said that we as an America is not woke enough, that we need to remain awoke and be more awoke than ever. Now, what do you think that means? It means exactly what I'm showing you here. If it's classified to be something, it's hate crime. If it's classified to be cyberbullying, if it's misogyny, if it's extremism, if it's misinformation, if it's fake news, if it's controversial, if it's conspiracy theory, all of these things, friend, are all getting crosshairs put on it. And when you listen, if I could pull out my Bible, and you know how many strikes against the word of God would come from these organizations? They would classify the Bible and the word of God as extreme, as bigotry, as intolerant, bullying. Now remember, the United Kingdom is also the same ones that are enforcing, they're trying to enforce stricter repercussions against people online that are sharing what they say is fake news and false information. All right, let me give you one more headline here. Terrifying development. New U.S. Army policy spells trouble for Christians. What in the world? What is this? According to a recent report, a policy revision adopted recently by the U.S. Army could spell trouble for soldiers who believe and follow the Bible. In June, the Army issued two new directives regarding the handling and reporting of protests, extremist and criminal gang activities by soldiers. Army Directive 2024-07 on handling extremist activity, as well as the Services Directive 2024-08 on reporting extremist activity, can both be found on the website of the Army Inspector General. According to Dr. Charles Chase Spears, recently retired after a 20-year Army public affairs career specializing in ethical military communication strategy, quote, since day one of this tenure as Secretary of Defense, Lloyd Austin claimed that there is a major issue with Christian extremism in the military. Again, there we go. Quote, this is the same military that made Austin a four-star general. So there's several military officials now that are all coming out concerned about the how the new directives will be interpreted. For example, considering the recent Army portrayal of pro-life organizations as terrorist organizations. One individual said his concern has been heightened if a service member offers money or resources or volunteers to support a group that advocates against abortion. Wow, think about it, guys. Could he be viewed as supporting extremism? What about supporting a group that advocates for the existence of only two genders? He takes it one step further and says, quote, if I were still in the Air Force and tithed to my church, which goes out to pray in protest against a transgender story hour, would my church fit the Army's definition of an extremist group? I want to read this one last statement. Quote, this is a terrifying development that extends the Defense Department's intrusive reach into the personal lives of non-activated reservists and National Guardsmen. And this, he concluded, sends a chilling message across the force that must be overturned by the courts. So, friend, the reason why I put a spotlight on this is because, again, this is the new normal. This is the new America that we're living in. And it's getting darker. It's getting more wicked. It's getting more anti-God, anti-Israel. It is the very things we're living now in a society that Paul warned us about, that the prophets warned about. The Bible has warned us. Perilous times are here, friend. I don't want to leave you all with this bad news. I want to show you, I want to tell you, I want to leave you with, again, Luke 21:28. Jesus said, when you begin to see all these things coming to pass, it's time to look up and lift up your heads. Because listen, our redemption is drawing near. Our redemption is not the conservative Republican Party. Our redemption is not Trump. Our redemption is not Harris. Our redemption is not the independents, the Republicans, or the Democrats, or any political figure. That is not our redemption, friends. Our only redemption is the Lord Jesus Christ. And your Bible says that we, when we begin to see all these things coming to pass, to look up and lift up our heads. Why? Because our help cometh from the Lord. Our help comes from the hills in which I'll lift my eyes up. He's coming out of heaven, come on, with 10,000s of his saints. The Bible says in the book of Jude, he's coming to execute judgment upon the ungodly for all their ungodly deeds. And there's going to be a group of saints that are coming with him. And I don't know about you, but I plan on to being a part of that group that's coming out of heaven, a part of the armies of heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ. Come on, to rule and reign for 1,000 years. So listen, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. Again, don't forget to subscribe. Don't forget to like. Don't forget to hit that bell notification. And of course, download our free app. You guys that are watching by the description, or excuse me, if you're watching this by video, in the description of this video, you can see where it says download our free app. Go there, click on that link, and you can get our free app. It's available on Apple, Android devices. Pick it up today. You'll be blessed by our content. And as always, guys, we want to give you an opportunity. Listen, if this ministry blesses you, encourages you, equips you, informs you, the whole package, this is your home church, whatever the case may be, you pray about being a monthly partner, pray about it. Do what the Lord would have you to do. You can give two different ways. You can give electronically through the app, right there on your screen, through the app or through the main website, or you can give by check or money order, and you can make that out to right there. End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391, Monroe, Georgia, 30655. And guys, just as a side note, that's why we're not a 501c3, because of this very thing that we're talking about right here. Because I decided years ago I didn't want to be a 501c3 because I don't want the government intruding into our affairs and trying to dictate what I can and cannot say or preach and what we stand for. You can't threaten me with all these tax incentives and all this stuff, because again, that's why we decided not to be a 501c3. And also, guys, all our entire ministry is supported by our partner supported. We don't sell merchandise, CDs, DVDs, books, T-shirts, merch, none of that. We don't do any of that. Everything is free. We equip the saints. We equip the body. We inform the body. And if you're blessed by our ministry, we trust and believe that the Lord will put it on your heart to support us and help us continue to do what we're doing. So listen, we love you guys. We appreciate you. All the letters, all the messages, all the emails, all of the financial support, the gifts, all that. I cannot express how much the gratitude and from the bottom of my heart. Thank you again for all your prayers. It's been a 5 weeks, guys. We'll talk more about that. We're going to get in some equipping messages. We'll give some testimonies. We'll talk about this. We're going to be doing some prayer sessions. So we got a lot lined up. So get ready for this week. Until then, I pray that the Lord bless you, may he keep you, and may his countenance shine upon you. I'll see you soon.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.